put the record on the DVD?
Yeah, I did that.
Okay, so it says record. All right, let's turn to Jeremiah. Last Thursday, we stopped at verse 13. So we're beginning at Jeremiah 4, chapter 4, 14 tonight. Jeremiah 4, beginning at verse 14. You have it there? Let's read together verse 14, 15, and 16 of Jeremiah 4. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? A voice declareth Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah.
Excuse me, yes. I mean, it just says video over here.
Dan, could you help her there?
I don't understand when it goes wrong.
There's a loose wire in the back.
There's a loose wire in the back? So that's not recording then, Dan?
It should be recording.
Okay, we'll keep going. We can't see it, but it's...
I see it up here.
No.
All right, so Dan will figure that one out. All right, we'll keep going. Dan says keep going. So notice in verse 14, what does Jeremiah, and what does the Lord tell the people of Jerusalem to do here?
Wash their heart
from wickedness. Wash the heart. Now, we talk about washing our hands, washing our faces, washing our bodies, taking showers. How would a person wash their heart? Anna?
They might ask the Lord to forgive them.
All right, ask the Lord to forgive them. The blood of Jesus Christ, God sent, cleanseth us from all sins, as in 1 John. So the cleansing in the New Testament, at least, is through the blood of Christ. And they should wash their heart from wickedness. Yes, Mom?
Reminds me of the thing that I taught, teach the children.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty hands, you want me to give it?
Yes, what?
Dirty hands, I don't want these dirty hands. I'll wash and wash with all my might, and soon my hands will be clean and white. Dirty heart, I don't want this dirty heart. I'll ask God to wash away the naughty things I do and say. That's right,
the heart. And it must be clean, and the heart, is the heart more important or less important than the hands or the head or the feet?
More important.
More important. What happens when the heart is bad? What happens when the heart is good? If it's bad, the whole life many times is bad.
It's deceitful.
And what does Jeremiah 17:9 say? That's very important. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then the next verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart. So the Lord is the only one that knows the heart. And out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. But that's all these little things come out, as the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 7. So wash the heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. Now, would the Lord, if they had washed their hearts, deliver them from this onslaught of Babylon? Yes, he would have. He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to change their ways. He wanted them to go and to do something different. And he would have saved them, and not spiritually, but in a physical sense, saved them from the captivity. Thanks, Dan. Everything's all right now?
It's a new one?
Yes, a new one, because the other one wouldn't work. It was one of those things that... So we don't have the right disc, I guess. All right, and so notice in 15... No, it's still in verse 14. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? What would a vain thought be? What does the word vain mean?
Empty.
Or empty thoughts. So what would vain thoughts? What are some of the empty thoughts that the Jewish people, Israel and Judah would be thinking? And what are some vain thoughts that perhaps people today, maybe we think? Empty, vain thoughts.
Vanity, vain.
Vanity, yes, that's where vanity. The worship of idols is vain, is it not? Everything all right back there, Miss Wade, now?
Well, this has
off,
but I guess it's all right.
That's okay. There's no problem with that. Just let that alone. That's
over there?
Yes.
Status.
She doesn't know where status is now.
You'll have to push it. I'll just let it go.
Went to video again? It's off again. Got a bad plan. So that means the video's not recording?
He's still recording.
As long as it's recording, I don't care.
You push display on the remote.
Push display on the remote and see if it's recording.
Panasonic remote. Push display on the Panasonic remote.
Panasonic remote, the one, the regular remote and display.
What is the message over that one?
Put the display. Push the display. You know, the regular old display.
Yeah.
This is
yes,
this?
Yeah, I thought
it was.
See if it says recording. Does it say record REC? Dan, why don't you go back there since it's a problem?
There it is.
It is recording. Okay, it is recording.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, take it off then. Take it off. Off display so it won't be on the DVD. Okay, that's good.
I can't make it get away. There it is.
7 minutes. Dan, you can't just do it yourself. Mom doesn't know how to do that. She's not up there. I don't think any of us are. This is a situation that is not yet completely solved. It's a problem. Wrong discs and wrong everything. So we'll hopefully get it straightened out. Notice the vain thoughts lie within thee. The thoughts in them, the worship of idols, that certainly is a vain thought. You don't have any idol worship. That's certainly not the things of the Lord. Then in verse 15, what does it mean a voice declares from Dan, an affliction from Ephraim? Where is Dan on the map?
It's in Israel.
All right, it's way up the top, isn't it? Here's Dan. It's the northernmost point of Israel. Remember the expression from Dan to Beersheba. Beersheba is down here in the south. Bob, are you getting these directions, or you don't have any room back here? But Dan to Beersheba and Mount Ephraim is right about in here. So here's Ephraim here. Ephraim is right here. And Mount Ephraim is right close by. So if the Babylonians are coming from the north down here, and they've already come to Dan, and then to Ephraim, and they're coming closer and closer to Jerusalem, which is, where is Jerusalem?
It's a screen,
yeah. There it is, right here, Jerusalem. So it's getting close. Here's Mount Ephraim. So that is, I think, what he's saying. Anna?
It was when the divided kingdom, there's a divine kingdom.
Yes, the northern and southern kingdom divided, 10 and 2.
Jeroboam, he put an idol in Dan and one in Bethel.
That's right, one in Bethel, which is somewhere right in the middle here.
It's at the very bottom.
Well, no, Beersheba's not here. Bethel was the
It was at the very bottom of the
Northern kingdom, yeah. So Bethel, Shechem, anyhow, it's about in the midst. You have idols in the two places. So there are people coming from Dan and a reflection from Mount Ephraim. That was the message that was given. And then in verse 16, what does it say about the nations? What are they to publish? What's going to happen, as Jeremiah says? It's going to be what?
What does publish mean?
That means tell all the people, publish the facts against Jerusalem. In other words, decry and cry out against Jerusalem. I think that's what they're saying. All right, Bonnie, are they ready, Dan? Okay, take over. That disc, I put a new disc in and it still didn't work, did it? Now it's working now?
No, it's kind of short out.
Okay. All right.
It's one wrong speed. I don't know why it didn't report.
Okay. So they're to publish against Jerusalem. And now the watchers come from a far country. What far country are these watchers coming from? Babylon. And the watchers, they want to watch to see how things are coming. Just like the ants, when they invade something, they send out two or three or four or five or an army ahead of time, just like the army, like the Marines. They always send out a group of people to reconnoiter, to look over the land. So these watchers, apparently, are coming from a far country to see just exactly how they can come to take over Jerusalem, kill the people and take them captive and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. So why is God against Judah? I thought God loved Judah and Jerusalem. Why is he saying cry against them? Has he become their enemy?
Yes.
Yes, he. Why?
They didn't do what he told them.
They're his enemy, so he's their enemy. That's a sad thing. So give their voice against the cities of Judah. Let's read 17, 18, and 19 together. As keepers of the field, are they against her round about? Because she has been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained in my very heart, and my heart maketh a noise. And heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. All right, verse 17. As keepers of a field, what does a person do to keep a field? What should they do? I'm not a farmer, don't know anything about keeping a field, but what do normally do people do that keep a field?
Have to water it.
Water it? Make sure, rake it, get the weeds out, so on, make sure there's enough nutrition in the soil,
yeah.
And sow the seed properly. So as this is the figure of speech, are they against her roundabout? Just like keepers are roundabout watching these watchers, roundabout looking at what they can do. Why are these watchers there? Why are they like a field gathering around to pluck them and to take them as fruit?
Rebellious
against me. Do we have any rebellious people today? We have a whole generation, haven't we? Well, I said the old generation, the younger generation, I'm sure the generation to come, a lot of them, not all of them, rebellious. Do we have Christians that are sometimes rebellious against the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What is the answer to rebellion?
Chastening.
The Lord chastens those who are rebellious against Him. What is it? Yes, Father?
Obey is better than sacrifice.
Obey is better
than sacrifice. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft.
Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Yes, Father? And again?
When I was Samuel talking to Saul, mm-hmm. He heard the sheep.
What meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears?
Mm-hmm.
And Saul said, well, the people want to spare the flock. I told you to kill all the flocks and all the people. So that was the rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And as idolatry, I think that's also part of
it. He's equating it to witchcraft. And it's interesting that he actually was guilty of participating in that as well.
That's right. Although
at the time, he may not have been, he would have got the point when Samuel said it's equivalent to an extreme of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Which was it? That's all. Frequent.
One in Endor, right?
Endor. Exactly. So this is the rebelliousness, and children will disobey, sometimes rebel, and sometimes moms and dads rebel against the Lord. It's a terrible thing. When God says, go right, and we go left, that's absolute rebellion. And it doesn't mean just the children, but we have adults to rebellion too, and it's a terrible thing to rebel against the will of God, against the Scriptures. So they're rebellious against me. That's why the Lord says these keepers are on about like a field. And then in verse 18, what does the Lord say? Why is this evil that's coming? Why did it happen, according to verse 18?
Their ways and their doings
have procured. Procured means what? Procured.
Require something.
Require or?
To acquire.
That's the way they got this judgment. Thy way and thy doings. God looks on the heart of the Israelites in verse 14. Wash thine heart and thy thoughts in verse 14. Now their ways and their doings. We're known by our doings, aren't we? Can people see our heart and our thoughts? Can people? No. Can the Lord see our heart and our thoughts? Yes. Can people see our ways and our doings? Yes, they can. And they're looking at them. You better believe the unsaved world around us, whether our neighbors, wherever they're looking at us, the ways and doings. And the ways and doings of Judah procured and caused them to have these things. And this is thy wickedness. Now, what does God describe wickedness here in verse 16 as? Or 18, excuse me. It's bitter. Wickedness is bitter. Now, to the wicked that are doing wickedness, is it bitter? No. What does it say? In fact, it says in the book of Proverbs, the sin is sweet. You know, it's nice to do. It's wonderful. But afterward, it's bitter. And God calls it bitter. Why is it bitter in verse 18? Why is sin and wickedness bitter in actuality?
Reaches
right down into the heart. And something that reaches into the heart is far worse than anything in the ways or the hands or the feet or even the tongue. Can the tongue cover itself from bad heart activity if it's clever? Can the tongue cover a wicked heart if it's clever? Yes. The tongue can cover a disobedient heart. So, I mean, it's clever tongues. You have actors in Hollywood and other places. You have actors in churches. But the heart, when the wickedness goes to the heart, it's bitter as far as the Lord is concerned. Then in verse 19, Jeremiah says his bowels, his innermost being, his innermost feelings, his pain, the very heart. And what is the result of his pain, his inner pain, in verse 19? As a prophet, what is his pain going to do?
Can't hold his peace.
What does that mean, not hold his peace?
Not going to be quiet.
Not going to be quiet. Now, when we see wickedness all around us, sometimes we just dummy up and so on and we don't say anything, but Jeremiah was not that way. He cannot hold his peace. What did he hear? What was even in his ears? Whether in truth or in his vision or whatever.
The
sound of war. Trumpet, the war, and the alarm of war. He could just hear in his mind's eye, if not in actuality, the Babylonians coming from Dan to Ephraim, down to Jerusalem. Now, this is a favorite verse that's mentioned by Dean Burgon, Dean John William Burgon, great defender of the King James Bible and the Greek text that underlies it. This is one of his verses that he quotes in his biography and in his books. I cannot hold my peace. He saw in his own church, the Church of England, the Anglican Church, such unbelief, such a terrible, terrible travesty, tearing apart the Scriptures, the Word of God, some of the most precious things in Scripture. And he used this verse, and that was his war cry. He could not hold his peace. He had to write. And he wrote five books on this subject, and we reprinted them in our Dean Burgon Society. You've heard, my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. There's a battle for the Scriptures. Has that battle for the Bible and Scriptures ceased since Dean Burgon died? 1888? No, it has. Still here. Still a battle. All right, let's read 20, 21, 22 together. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Right, verse 20, what's coming upon them? What's the cry? Destruction. The whole thing. The land, what's going to happen to the land? All right, and suddenly, too, the tents and the curtains in a moment. See, it won't take long. Once the enemy attacks, it's just all over, just like that. It's a quick attack for Babylon. And then in verse 21, he asks the question, how long? What is the standard? What would the standard be? Well, I see the standard. What is the standard in this sense? The flag, all right, the flag of the opposing army.
It's an identifier.
All right, it's an identifier. And those who are proper opponents in proper war, if you can have proper war, proper opponents, they usually have a standard that identifies them as the enemy. And that's the right thing to do. I mean, there are people that are in disguise.
Identifies them as friends.
That's right. If you're the allies, you have a proper standard. And so in the North and the South War, of course, there always were infiltrators, always were turncoats and so on, but they had, what was the color of the Army of the North?
What? Blue.
Blue. In the South?
Gray.
And so there was identification. And except for those who were spies, they would come masquerading. So there was a standard.
They had the flag bearer, too. I forget what it's called. But today they come on buses in Jerusalem and
yes.
Like everybody else,
yes. That's a terrible, terrible. That's vicious. That's satanic. That's evil. That's wicked, isn't it? And today, the greatest was it today or yesterday? The largest number of people killed recently in many months. How many were 10 or 12 and they killed in a bus explosion? This is terrible.
And the bus driver said that he didn't notice anyone any different.
Does the same look the same? Is that? See, that's the serious thing. And that's like Judas Iscariot. Did the disciples, the other disciples, recognize him? No, they didn't at first. They had to wait until he exposed himself. He dressed like they did, looked like they did, went out with them, performed maybe the same miracles that they did, and so on, as he sent them forth. But he was a traitor. And did the Lord Jesus know he was a traitor when he selected him?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He said, "Have not I chosen 12, and one of you is a devil." He told him right off, see. Why do you suppose he had the devil? Yeah, Dan?
Well, this is going past that.
All right.
I'll wait.
Okay. And after the Lord's Supper there, after the last Passover time, when Satan went out, not Satan, but Judas went out, and what does it say of Judas? and Satan entered into him. And it was night. So he was incarnated by the devil. Sad thing. Anna?
It says that Jesus said something like, whosoever will be,
shall
sup with me.
Okay, he that dippeth his hand in the dish, take the sop, he it is. And that's what the Lord leaned to the other disciple of Jesus, the prophet John, and told him who's going to be in there. Judas immediately put his hand in the dish. So, these are the sound of war, the alarm of war, destruction, crying, the whole land spoiled. How long is he the standard? Standard is identifying. That's why we fly the flag in our armed surfaces. That's why the naval ships fly the flag. And the pirates and the others, sometimes the pirates would fly a regular flag, and all of a sudden they got near a ship to blow them up, they put up the Jolly Roger, the pirate flag, and then kill them. But it's subversive, isn't it, not to fly the standard. Now, if we are Christians, should we not have a standard? Should we not? People should be able to see us that we know the Lord above the Lord. So, the standard of war, and how long before I hear the sound of the trumpet? What's the trumpet do? What's that for? Yes, and that's the rallying cry, isn't it? And the soldiers, the rallying cry of the trumpet to the charge. And then, what is that now?
It was verse 21.
Okay.
It seems they're neglecting something. It is, well, maybe I have the. We thought of it wrong. It's how long should I see the standard to hear the trumpet? The trumpet assembles people for different occasions. Standard apparently was something that would also be a sign for people to be assembled. Like at one point in time, certain fire departments would ring a bell or sound a siren, and that would let the people who worked for the fire department know that they had to come and help put out a fire someplace. And so it would be like if the fire bell was ringing or the fire siren was ringing and nobody was coming. I mean, how long, it's the second part of the last part of the verse is, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? It's the trumpet is blowing and blowing and blowing. There's no response. Standard is being presented. Flag is being presented, I'm not sure if they had different flags that would mean different things. I know on naval vessels, they have they have various flags, and when those flags are put in a different sequence, it means a particular thing. I'm not sure how many different colors or different shapes. If they raise them up at a certain angle in a sequence, it means different things.
Yes, that's true.
There's different signals you could have with flags too. You know, whether it's like this or like this.
Right.
Different.
With rags and semaphore.
Doing different things. And so here they have the signals being given, standards communicating something. And sure, obviously it's clearly seen. And the trumpet's being sounded, it's clearly heard, but there's no response.
So you think this trumpet is the friendly trumpet rather than the army, the enemy?
I'm not sure it's a...
In other words, you think it's Judas blowing the trumpet of the standard, nobody coming to defend Jerusalem, rather than the enemy trumpet, it's just coming closer and closer to the standard, how long before it will arrive?
Well, it seems, I don't know, isolating the verse too much. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? And what?
Yes, says Joanne.
But couldn't that mean too then, how long is this war going to last? How long is the fighting going to last?
It could be. How long shall I see it? How long shall I see it? That's right. How long will the battle take between Israel and Judah and Babylon?
Because, maybe he was saying, these people be...
It could be the length of the battle,
right,
rather than how long before the battle starts.
Right.
I think either one would be possible, yes. And any other comments on that?
If you look at verse 19, you have the sound of trumpet, the alarm of war. Is verse 19...
My soul, I've heard the sound of the trumpet, therefore. In other words, he couldn't hold his speech. In other words, the war is imminent.
If we want to say hypothetically, or if we want to say, let's say we'll stipulate that we had not, we were aware of an imminent attack by a particular empire, and the alarm of war. The alarm of war is warning people to get ready to defend yourself. And so, if the longer war is sounded, but then it's, if it's ignored, then you're attacked. I mean, we have Jeremiah, Isaiah, all these different prophets are giving warnings saying, repent, repent, repent. Turn, you know, amend your ways, go back, turn around to the Lord. Otherwise, there's going to be sudden destruction.
Right.
And so, if...
Yeah, I think in verse, in that verse 19, Dan, I agree certainly that that's the Jeremiah was for fighting against the enemy, and he was opposing the sinful people. And that's certainly what Dean, how Dean Burgon took it, too.
And in verse 20, we have, this is what's going to happen. Destruction is going to happen. We have the sound of war. Mm-hmm. Destruction is going to happen. And then how long shall I see the standard and hear the trumpet? This is for my people is foolish.
Mm-hmm.
They have not known me. And it, I don't know.
All right, so
it would have been possible for them had they repented at this time.
Lord would have won the battle and would have stopped.
Avoided.
He could have avoided, I'm sure of that. They just repented. It's always the last minute. Yes, Anne?
Well, if they had repented then, the Babylonians might somehow decide to turn back.
Yes, that's right.
So they might, like, there might be some tragedies.
The Lord did turn back several armies that were coming after the southern tribes and turned them back to the land because it wasn't yet his time to take away the southern two tribes. So he took the 10 tribes of the north earlier. That's right. Now, in verse 22, what does God call his people? And Jeremiah the prophet, of course, the Lord is speaking here.
Foolish and drunkards.
Yes, foolish, all right. And drunkards? Yes, Bob?
Well, I was going back to Sunday's lesson, he said the trumpet was the Lord shouting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was the voice of the trumpet in that book of Revelation. Yes.
I just wondered if...
Well, I don't know. In fact, this part, whether that would be the Lord himself.
I don't know. I'm just saying, yeah. I just remember that from Sunday.
Yeah, but in the book of Revelation, it does say the voice, like the sound of the trumpet in chapter 1. Then the trumpet voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning then, which is the Lord Jesus. But as a trumpet, loud, strong, first, furious... I mean, not furious in the wrong sense, but they're very strong and very noticeable. Sodish, that's what you say, Dan. Drunkard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, they've not known me.
Sodish
is drunkard, Dan? Yeah. So, what is the defined thing in the Bible say?
Does it? Stupid
or foolish? Okay. Stupid or foolish for too much drinking. See, that's what that is, sodish drinking. So, the defining things in the Bible comes along very helpful. And they've not known me. How do you become to know the Lord today? How would you come to know the Lord?
He would hear about the gospel and then he would accept it.
Hear the gospel and accept it. That's how we would know the Lord and trust him and accept him and receive him. And they didn't know the Lord. Sodish, drunken children, and stupid. Not understanding. What is understanding?
Knowledge.
Knowledge is part of it, isn't it?
Comprehending.
Right? Understanding is knowing something and then understanding what it means, the significance of it. And so it's all a balance. It's a complicated thing, isn't it? So this is... what else does God tell them in the last part of verse 22? Now, the sodish means they're ignorant, stupid, and drunken, and they don't know much, and you don't have any understanding. But what about this last part of this verse?
Well, they're smart to evil, but they have no knowledge.
Okay. They don't know how to do good, but they're smart to do evil. Yes, Ann? Yeah, Ann? Alan?
They have anything.
Okay.
Proposition 4,
mm-hmm.
Is that as a result of them? I mean, we get ran through at 21, we don't know what which mm-hmm. trumpet this is, whose standard this is, but it says, for my people is foolish. Mm-hmm. They've not known me. They are Scottish children.
Four.
If you have a drunkard, if someone's drunk, I mean, if you think of someone that they don't have all their wits about them, and so if they're driving a vehicle or if they're riding a bicycle, they may not be aware of certain signal. They may miss a red light because they're not there. And so in the sense of someone in today's sense missing a red light or not missing a curve. And then having an accident,
mm-hmm.
here are these people, if they're foolish and they're sottish, then are they missing the signals, the standard, mm-hmm. and the trumpet?
Yeah, they're missing them.
Possibly, yes.
Or is, I mean, we don't know which, we it's not clear yet, probably, if it's their own army's trumpets, mm-hmm. or the other army's trumpets, but either way, if you're missing the call of your own army to assemble, that's one thing. But then if you miss the call of another army to assemble, that means that army's close.
Very close.
Just across the river, or across the street, or across the valley.
Right.
And so, if they're missing that, then they're going to be attacked.
Mm-hmm. So either way, it would be possible. All right. So, why is it do evil? Do we have some wise evil people today? Are the criminals necessarily foolish and stupid? Are criminals? No. Are people that deal with drugs necessarily stupid and foolish?
If they're,
as far as intelligence,
why are they incarcerated then?
Well,
not all of them are. The ones that aren't, okay, I
see. In other words, what about their IQ? I guess that's they're certainly dumb to be criminals. That's stupidity. But I mean, their IQ. Was Al Capone stupid?
No.
Was he more? Or certain ones, I mean, I don't know whether the lady that's being tried now was guilty or not guilty. Suppose she were guilty. Suppose she were. I don't know. Suppose you were. Is she a dumb woman? No, she's very smart. She's got abilities. She's got a big empire, millions and millions of dollars. So, but you see, I don't know whether she did something wrong or not, the $40,000 that she, the trade. But if she did something wrong,
because they're lying that they're having.
All right, see, but it's not because she's stupid. But I'm saying there's a lot of criminals, a lot of people that are not in prison. In fact, there's some politicians that are criminals that are still in the Senate of the United States, in my judgment. At least I know one for sure. There was a murderer. Murdered a girl and got away with it, and he's a senator.
Wouldn't be called murder. Would it be?
Accidental homicide.
Some type of
accidental involvement. And not willing to save the person when he could have saved the person.
Would be first degree murder.
No, it'd probably be accidental homicide. But the failure to try to save the victim would mean that there was he was contributing to the death of a person. It's almost,
maybe it's Scottish, rather.
Yeah, well, he was Scottish. That's right. This senator was Scottish, and so was the woman that.
So he's Scottish. He didn't see the standard. He didn't realize the significance.
That's right.
He didn't have his once about him know that there would be a possibility that the victim would be able to be in that vehicle for longer time than you would think.
And surviving in the water. Impossible. That's right. I had a dream last night that told my wife, I don't very often dream that I can remember, but I was driving with my oldest son, Don. And he didn't see some curve, so I went, behold, I went into the water. And there was a lot of air at the top in the air. And Mom was back here, my wife was back here, she was up there, there's plenty of air. So I rolled down the window here, and we all escaped out the window. See? I don't know what I thought of, but that's a crazy dream.
He said it was about the bulletin, something about the
bulletin. Yeah, I was trying to get the bulletin.
He never dreams, so you remember.
No, I don't. Anyhow, but it reminds me of the water situation. Of course, you see, my wife said that nowadays you can't roll the windows. I was rolling the windows out, got plenty of room. There's still air up there. We all went in the windows. Everything's fine. Woke up and it's all right. But now with these electric windows, they don't roll. So you couldn't do that. You have to open the door. As soon as you open the door, then the water comes in and floods it. I didn't worry about that. Yes, Anna.
Well,
criminals are not all stupid. They're not very smart in the sense of being a criminal. That's not wise. But now they may be intelligent.
There are people that aren't criminals who still are evil doers.
Oh, yes, that's right. Evil doers.
They, from the standpoint of the judicial system,
that's right.
They would not be evil doers. They wouldn't.
They
would be criminals. Now, even if all the books were open, they would not be evil doers from the standpoint of
breaking laws
of the country.
But they'd still be evil because
evil is based upon the God standard, not a man standard.
That's right. Anna?
If somebody had an abortion, and people are stupid when they say life begins at birth, because as soon as the mama sound and daddy sound connect, then life begins.
That's right. You've been well taught. That's exactly right. So this is ignorance. It's not wise at all. So they don't know how to do good, but they certainly are wise to do evil. We've got a lot of wise, evil people today. Yes, ma'am?
As I look at this now, verse 21 might mean that, see, verse 22, my people are foolish, they're not understanding, they have no knowledge, and they're being overtaken by the enemy, and so
yes.
You're not no longer to see your own standard, you're not going to longer hear your own common calls, you're just being taken over.
Yes, especially if they're going to try.
Right, I mean, it just stops. It stops completely. When you get right. taken over, it stops completely. Your side.
That's right. There's no more compass. There's no more.
No,
that's right. All right, we're going to stop right here, verse 22. Lord willing, we'll take it up next week with our sextet or whatever. And any other comments or questions before we close? We'll stop here at verse 22. All right. If not,
I think some of you about being foolish. I'm thinking of that Mr. that Wayne that came here.
Yes.
And he wanted money.
Big tall Wayne.
That
alleged teacher at the school over here.
William Wayne was here. He didn't come.
It was a Sunday, you were not there, maybe. A big, tall fellow teacher over at Christian Heights.
He said, I don't know what to believe.
He said he was there.
What, he used to teach at Faith Christian?
Yes, he said.
He said he was a coach there, but I don't know whether he was or not. But here he wanted money and for
medicine.
Insulin. They took him over there and everything. But I thought you saw the package and you said you didn't see the package and we made the mistake. We should have gone in there with him.
Well, he just wanted $25. I didn't have change, so I gave him $30. And then he said, well, they raised it from $29.95, so I didn't get any change either. So
who knows? Well,
he's going to come the next Thursday to our Bible study. We've never seen him. So
he told us over
we were taken in by him. But I tell you one thing.
We were foolish.
Well, we tried to help the man if he really had a condition of needing this insulin. Otherwise, you're going to go into a reaction. We tried to help him. But I said, talk to this treasurer banker. I said, talk to my wife. Because I got taken into all these other people. I wasn't going to be responsible for $30. It's certainly cheaper than $100, whatever. So anyhow, but she said she gave a thumbs up. So we went.
Because I thought he really had need.
Well, you don't know.
His story was sort of strange, and he had so many things wrong with him physically.
So
he said he was in the elevator in Tower One. He got robbed the night before.
Well, regardless of what his intentions were, our intentions were to help him.
Well, were we
kindly?
This is what you do. What
well,
do you do?
Well, I don't know. We try to do what we try to thank ask the Lord what we should do. We took him to the drugstore and we went in and he got the medicine apparently.
Home, then we went.
So.
And then the other day that man, that Danny person that used to come here all the time.
Oh yeah.
And now we know him, so we don't give him money anymore.
All right, so all about
foolish
and wise.
Well, we want to be wise to do evil.
We don't want to do evil. We didn't do evil.
Is that what you're asking?
It isn't evil, but sometimes we get taken in by people, let's face it. And we get snogged, but...
What's the connection to the being evil?
Well, it was a foolish part.
Being foolish.
It bothered me because he said, you know, he just lied to us.
Yes, well, apparently so. As things turned out.
Well,
if something like that happens again, it may be help as far as for drugs.
Yes.
Prescription drugs.
Prescription, yeah.
Well, you could take them to the drugstore and they have a card. Where
really?
If you're in need, it's called Martha.
Oh, is that right?
And that is supposedly, if you're in financial need,
mm-hmm.
you only pay $5 for any kind of prescription.
Oh, is that right?
So, I mean, you could help them that way.
Yes.
So I'll help you get this card.
Right. He said somebody beat him up and took his cards and they hadn't cleared his wallet and so on. But he'd pay us back, he'd get right back. Anyhow.
He said, remember I called you so many weeks ago? We get so many calls.
But the point of it is, I'm sure that we're trying to help somebody and they take advantage of us. This is not the last time people are going to try to take advantage of you, me, or anybody.
Well,
it's our own money, you know.
It was only
$30. Well, let's close here and we'll pick it up in verse 22. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Our Father, we thank Thee for this discussion we've had about Thy Word. We thank Thee that Dean Burgon heard the sound of war in this battle for the Bible and was able to stand against the onslaught of Burma and his truth. We're sorry to see the terrible condition of thy people, Judah. And we ask thee, Lord, that our hearts may not be evil, be wicked, that our ways may be right before thee, going along with thy words. And we pray for each family represented here and in our church generally. Take care of us and bless us in the days that are ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.